What's going on, everyone? Jetta Cameron, John Rich. It is 94 WIP. Great to be with you off and rolling this Wednesday morning. Well, look, no Embiid. It is a disgraceful situation. We will talk a lot about it today. 76ers fine $100,000, which is chump change. But the disgrace should be real for them. Whether they feel it or not is a whole nother matter, because we've been through this so many times with them. But look, we'll talk a lot about that situation, your phone calls. Flyers win last night. Yankees win. They survive. Game 5 tonight. And an awful lot today on the Eagles at 5-2, approaching another winnable game. And whether we're in on the birds with belief. 215-592-9494. A lot going on here. Rich.
Hello, Joe.
Hello there, Johnny.
Couples in the Victorian era exchanged coins, engraved coins with one another instead of wedding rings.
Huh.
Usually it was the poorer folks. They would just give coins, like little tokens.
I like that. Save money.
See, I don't.
And give me some.
Hold on, though.
As
soon as you give me a coin that's supposed to be my token forever, where does that go? It goes in the pocket with all the other coins. You know how hard that would be to make sure that I keep track of that coin?
Go buy a Big Mac.
I feel like I would lose that coin. And, by the way, the Victorian era, times get tough. It might be,
Yeah.
Yeah, Big Mac. Not gonna that's what you're that buying coin in the Victorian era.
I'm going to the tavern and I'm getting a
I might need to subsist
a pint
by
getting
using
a pint.
That coin.
A pint?
Like, if you can't wear the coin and put it on your person, it might fall out of your pocket.
Yeah, you could just, like, strap
get
it
get some string or something, make a little hole in it. You could do
something.
Weird.
A little weird. That's not the Sixers issue, right? I just want to make sure. Because they do have enough coins.
It might be. I mean, they got all kinds of issues.
Coin is not the problem for them.
Yeah, coin, you're right. Yeah.
So, all right, I really just want to put right out of the gate the Sixers thing on the table. I think it's a disgrace, a total disgrace. I think more than anything today, I'm just curious at 215-592-9494. If I just open up the phone lines and say to everybody, the Sixers nonsense with Joel, their handling of it, you as a fan, you as a Philadelphian or from Jersey, Philadelphia sports fan, just get it off your chest. What you feel about the 76ers organization. Ladies and gentlemen, today the floor will be yours. At 215-592-9494. It is such an incredible disgrace that they continue to drag us all as a fan base through the mud. And I'm opening up the lines right out of the gate. 215-592-9494. Your reaction, time's yours. Get it off your chest.
It's incredible to me that we still don't have any clarity on this situation. With all that goes into it, Joel, I guess, four games missed. We still don't know.
Because they lie and they deceive.
That's what's so amazing.
That's the basic bottom line. Right. They lie and they deceive.
Exactly. It sounds really awful when you put it that way, but that's exactly what we're talking
about. That's why they got fined.
It's supposed to be like a relationship of understanding and trust and, a back and forth with your teams, where you love and understand. Exactly.
Yeah.
You love and understand. It's an interplay, an exchange. All based around a common, love of these players and this city and this team and going out and winning together, pulling together. Like, all that stuff, it just feels like it's fake now. It feels like it goes out the window. It feels like
I honestly don't think they don't care. They literally don't care about the fans. They don't care. So look, floor is yours, 215-592-9494.
And all you have to do is just be a little more open.
Well, just common sense.
Information.
It's not that hard.
We just want to know.
It's just not that hard. And you get season ticket holders that pay money, and it's just a disgrace. So the whole Sixers thing, we'll get to the audio of Nick Nurse, his latest disgrace from yesterday. We'll get to that shortly. All right, John, let's roll Eagles here also. Simple question also. Are you on board? And let me tell you what I mean by on board with this Eagles team. So obviously at 5-2, they look better, and they've got a much better record than they did at 2-2 or even 3-2. When I say, are you on board, I guess this is what I'm driving at with this today. Do you believe in them this season? Are you of the mindset that they will take us as a fan base on a meaningful journey this year? And to be clear, that doesn't have to mean the Super Bowl. It doesn't have to mean you win it. It doesn't have to mean you get there. But, there have been some really fun, really captivating seasons in which we were proud of them, even though they did not win a Super Bowl. 2018, we were proud. That was a fun playoff journey. They almost got to a conference title game. 06, Jeff Garcia, that was fun. We were proud. So the thing about the September and most of October was I know I did not feel proud. And I'm curious, by the end of this year, do you think this team will put a charge into it? Do you believe in them enough that they put a charge in it in the playoffs that when all is said and done, John, we feel good about what the team put out there and we feel proud as a fan base? Because I will tell you, I'm still holding back. I still don't have the belief I'd like to have. I mean, clearly they are more advanced than I perceived 2 to 3 weeks ago. I will grant that. But I still don't feel in on the belief that I feel confident that they will rattle cages in the playoffs and really do some damage there. But, John, you tell me.
We've got a long time until the playoffs.
They do.
And what I've seen is we should feel good about that win. Like that win last week against Joe Burrow, I was told by the experts, we were underdogs.
That's right.
So that was a good win. And it's been hard to find good wins lately. And, you know, the opponents haven't been all that, you know, no, nothing to write home about.
Not stellar.
The Green Bay Packers were, that was an outstanding win. But then that was the first game of the season, extenuating circumstances. It's in Brazil. You know, people sort of discounted that one, too.
Yeah, that's right.
So how much do I believe in this team? I believe that those wins are a measuring stick, that they do matter, that we do line up against the best teams in this league, and we can hold our own. We're not where I would like us to be. Jalen needs to continue to improve and evolve within this offense, but I feel good about the offense having massive talent and massive potential, and the fact that you have now seen under center for weeks in a row, it has been proven to you and doubters like you that our quarterback actually can put his hands under the center's butt and start to play that way.
Well, he does it.
It's not impossible for him to do like you thought it was.
It's a lot of handoffs.
Can you explain that part?
Yeah, I'll be more encouraged when it's more passes. But yes, they're running the ball from under
center. But you are suggesting to me for the last 3 months that he was unable to start plays from under
center.
Unwilling. The combination of unwilling and wouldn't be particularly effective. And look, obviously they've done a decent job with that. But I'm also
talking about how important being under center is after the game. That's a great sign.
It is a good sign. It is a good sign. It also means that a lot of us that called for it to happen more were right. But look, had they been better at it than perceived? Sure. But I'll also say it is a positive. But I also want to say
there are a lot of positives that come with this quarterback, the way he prepares. Look, we needed that bye. We needed that bye in the worst way. And he, Jalen, sort of spearheaded the comeback. I mean, the season has
greatest bye, John. Greatest bye since they fixed Nick Foles before the playoffs.
And we thought it's
greatest bye in 7 years.
Week fiver, like seriously, we see that thing come out five. But we needed it. They utilized it, and now you know, the offense. We knew they had talent. Jalen needed some things straightened out. He's learned, fixed some of that. Not turning the ball over the way he was before, and that changes a lot. And then on the defensive side of things, when you turn the keys over and you trust in the youth at a couple positions, you know, Cooper DeJean and Quinyon Mitchell.
Yeah, that's helped.
It feels like you get infused. You reap the benefits. That now the NFL wisdom says for every rookie you start, you lose a game. That's the NFL wisdom that I'm positive Vic Fangio has heard every year of his life. And so he's aware these young guys are going to make mistakes. It's okay. They bring fire. They bring a vibe. Quinyon brings so much confidence for being a rookie.
He's one of their best players.
Holy cow. So we hit we hit on Quinion.
Yeah.
Cooper, it feels as though we hit, at least with the attitude part of Cooper DeJean. I really like what I've seen so far, even though it's early. But that defense is inspired, and that defense is going to be a lot better than what I expected it to
be. So I'm curious where you stand. Again, not only just on the Sixers and big picture with your chance to take a bite out of them as an organization, but the Eagles and whether you're on board with this squad. 5-2 is a lot better than they had been. They'll probably be 6-2 as we go to bed Sunday night. Are you there yet with the Birds? I'll say this. I'm closer, obviously. How can you not be closer to being there? But I'm not quite there yet. I'm still wary of a couple things. First, the schedule does give me pause, what they've accomplished. Now, John's right. The Bengals game was decently impressive. Road game against a team, great quarterback, and an underdog, the Birds were. That is a very, very solid win, and winning it going away was very impressive. But I am struck by the Bengals and Giants thing. I don't lose sight of that. I also don't lose sight of the fact that Bengals might have racked up their wins because they faced the Browns and the Giants. I mean, the Bengals might not be that good this year. I mean, their offensive line stinks. So I'm not quite sure how to evaluate that win yet, but it's certainly better than when they beat the Browns and the Giants. The Hurts thing, you guys know, worries me. I'm encouraged by how he played the other day, but I'm not to the point yet at all where I say I trust him this season. And the defense, while improved and more trustworthy than a month ago, I'm not quite there yet with them either because that pass rush, I still wonder against better offenses and more stable offensive lines, will they be able to get home, which is such a critical part of pro football. So stuff like that worries me, but of course I'm encouraged. Of course they have looked better. Of course I'm closer to believing in them than I was 2 or 3 weeks ago. But for me, I kind of sense it'll take another 2-3 weeks for me to see them play really well, to feel like, all right, I'm totally, truly believing. But you tell us, 215-592-9494, if you're on board with the Eagles, do you expect a playoff win this year? Do you expect they put a charge in it in January and really make us proud? Even if they don't win the whole thing, are they going to make us proud? I'm waiting for it. I'm waiting for it, Seltzer. Bang! There it is! Good morning.
That was a miracle.
It was. Dude, I waited. It's like I'm waiting on Joel Embiid, who, by the way, I got to tell you, so I got Jokic on my fantasy basketball team. This guy, man, you want to talk about a tale of two dudes. Jokic last night, 29 points. The game before, 29, 18, and 16. Okay? That's Jokic last night.
Seems like a good night, Joe.
It's a normal night for Jokic.
The game before that, 40 and 10. The game before that, 41 and 9 and 4. The game before that, 16, 12, and 13.
Joel does have a stat this season, Joe.
What is that?
Yeah, he got a technical foul.
I saw that.
Remember when people actually used to think that it was close between the two?
That's adorable.
And the sad thing is when he plays, it is close, but he doesn't play. And then when he does play, he gets injured. And then when he comes back, he's not good enough.
He gets injured when he's not playing.
My God. All right, so the Sixers thing on the table. Eagles, are you in? Do you buy it? Let's go to the phones. Let's kick it off with Mike in Douglasville. Mike, good morning.
What's going on, guys? How you doing?
Doing all right, Mike.
Yeah, so
Joel is scrimmaging 5-on-5.
Hey, don't that's even great.
Yeah.
You know, this whole Embiid thing, like, I try my absolute best. You know, I've said it multiple times on over these airwaves. You know, me and my kid, my oldest, I should say, we watch Philly sports together religiously. He is the only reason I have even paid attention to the Sixers. I would say over probably the last year at least, because when he won the MVP, I was ready to get rid of him because that was going to be the highest value and I didn't see us winning a championship with him. And yet for some odd reason, every single season, I just get tossed right back into it to think maybe we could pull it off this year. But here we go again with the Sixers just annoying the hell out of every single fan. And I don't know whether it's for money, whether they're just trying to protect him, whether, you know, whatever the reason.
Well, it certainly stems from mismanagement. Now, what the causality of their purpose is, that's hard to know. But it is fundamentally born out of a poorly run organization. Poorly. And Mike, I've seen it for years. I saw it, honest to God, ever since. Like, let me give you an example, Mike. When the Sixers bought the team, this new group bought the team, that is, when Josh Harris bought the team, I don't know if there's 1% of people out there that will remember this. I do. I was at the game. Josh Harris's first game, they had him go out to center court before the tip-off, and he was to – there was some sort of presentation of something, but the presentation went awry, and he just stood out there for like a minute. I think he was holding a basketball, and he was waiting for someone to do something. Like, it wasn't properly coordinated. I'm right. not fully describing the story because I don't remember all of it, but I just remember the new owner. Here he is, the new owner. And he just stood out there for an extended period of time while everyone's waiting for, like, wait, what's about to happen? And nothing happened. And I have seen for over a decade now, they're just a poorly run organization. Absolutely. And so much of it comes from him on down. It's who you hire. It's who you trust. It's whether you have respect for your fans. It's just the debacle of an organization.
Absolutely. And now quickly to shift, just because I know I'm running out of time, to shift to the organization that actually knows how to, you know, run a franchise. I know I called yesterday saying, you know, I'm not trusting fully the Sirianni-Hurts scenario until I see, you know, that forget the Jaguars because we might as well be 6-2, but mm-hmm. let's get on to Dallas. Yeah, Cooper DeJean. I got a nickname for this dude, and it's CCB, the Caucasian cornerback. And my God, can this kid play freaking football? I mean, just watching him run around, seeing that 4th-and-1 play where he is just shadowing Ja'Marr Chase and running when he's in motion and then just crashing down on this dude. I feel like I have not seen specifically a corner for the Eagles literally run through an offensive player. Not just try to, you know, dive at his legs or you know, he breaks down right in front of him and try to make the tackle. He ran through.
Yeah, it was really impressive.
That's awesome.
Beautiful.
Yeah, good call, Mike.
I agree with you, and that's that tackling, like, hey, that helps the entire team. When you're talking about missed tackles early in the season, guys making those executive decisions to turn down contact at times, Cooper DeJean is not the type to turn down
contact. No, there's no question.
Contact. He wants to blow you up.
Yeah.
And, you know, Quinyon Mitchell is certainly more the cover cornerback type, but he'll come up and wrap you up yep. as well. You know, a complete type cornerback. And sometimes the longer a guy is in the league, the less they are interested in doing those little things.
Asante! You know,
sometimes,
did someone say Asante Samuel?
A wide receiver.
That just came. It just...
The longer he's in the league, the less he wants to run block. Cornerback, yeah. You know, the longer he's in the league, the
AJ's
less he
blocking.
Wants to really line up and tackle. It's just, I guess, human nature in many cases. But we have quality young men who, yeah, I think they like to tackle.
Well,
I think
how
they
nice
like
is it? How
to
nice is it to
people.
Have two draft picks come in and just make this impact after, what, 7 games? Of playing in the NFL, where you look at, I know it's different positions, but just the last few years of drafting, and I'm not saying they're busts because they're still starters, but Jordan Davis, you know, we're questioning these guys, and N'Kobe Dean, and I love
there's
that he's
uncertainty.
Stepping up. But
yeah, we don't know for sure.
Who are already making such an impact is
we know
awesome.
Look,
sure.
Here's where I'll sum it up. I think Quinyon Mitchell and Cooper DeJean, those two alone may have taken the Eagles' defense from below average to above average. Mm-hmm. Like two players.
And they don't know what they don't know either, and that sort of helps their cause at this point. You know, it's just kind of like, hey, we're not going to overthink. We're just going to listen and try to soak up as much as we can. The thing that, you know, with Darius Slay, I don't know what Darius Slay's injury is going to look like. That is a delicate ecosystem, though, when you've got a secondary that's this young. When you've got half of it being completely new.
Sure.
Having a guy like Slay out there who really does, he's seen it all, and he can relay a lot of information efficiently
and
quickly.
No question.
It really helps. So well, I don't know that Isaiah Rodgers can do that. I know that Isaiah Rodgers can go out there and he can be in the right place and he can make some plays. And I feel confident in that part. But getting the young guys to play their best, I don't know that anyone short of Darius Slay is going to be capable of that. And that's why Slay's injury is problematic most for me.
Now that response by Nick Nurse yesterday, I got to tell you, I told you last week I lost a lot of respect for him for how he handled it publicly last week. And yesterday took it to another level. I mean, that's just a disgrace. It's just, It's so unacceptable. And if his theory is, well, the last time I talked, you know, it zapped me 100,000 or my organization 100,000. Well, tough cookies. Then don't lie. I mean, really, this isn't that complicated.
Clearly, they disclosed information to the NBA, but your fans don't deserve answers.
Yeah, it's Ray, from your perspective, can you just put into context how you feel about this whole thing?
We know this team's history of I'll be nice about it, not being transparent all the time, and that dates back to Sam Hinkie. So this is it's an organizational thing. So it comes down to Josh Harris.
That's right.
Here's where I will just give Nick Nurse a little bit of grace, only because Daryl Morey should be hanging him out to dry to take all these points.
I agree with
you. You are the head of that organization, okay? You were fined. The organization was fined. You come out and speak. Joel Embiid. I'm sure Joel's like, I don't want you to say anything. I mean, this is ridiculous at this point. I mean, you know how I felt about Joel Embiid for a long time.
I know.
The fact that he played in the Olympics and is simply unable to play for the start of the season, signs that massive extension. It's a disgrace.
It is a disgrace. It is.
It's so confusing to us, to the world, to everyone. Maybe even to Nick Nurse. Does he know?
He knows. He's covering. He's covering. I don't think Nick Nurse is a bad guy. But I think he's covering in a way that makes it. Listen.
I'm just saying, if this is. What is the truth? Like,
can I answer that question?
Except Joel.
Can I answer the question?
Yes.
Joel Embiid is injured. They didn't want to say it. The NBA sniffed it out. Find them. That's what's going on.
Pretty simple.
I think it's that simple. I do. This isn't ramp up from off season. This is something happened. His knee didn't respond right. They did not want to disclose that. They did not want to disclose
something
that
happened. Yeah, okay, we can narrow that down. We know that happened sometime after the season and before now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So what could that have been? I know.
Anything.
You're right.
Yeah.
It feels like it probably had a lot to do with Olympic play, but who knows?
It may not have. He may have gotten hurt just playing pickup basketball in August.
That's
my biggest issue with the situation is. And I'm not saying it's totally Nick Nurse's fault, because I agree with what you just said. You know, I think that he's being told to not disclose anything. I do think he knows what's going on. But, like, I and the media have asked several times, is he injured? Was he injured in the Olympics? And Nick Nurse said, point blank, no.
Correct.
No, he's healthy. So now, moving forward, how are we ever supposed to trust Nurse and the Sixers organization, right?
Well, we don't.
If Embiid comes back and then misses one game in January, who's to say we're all going to panic and say, oh no, is he going to miss the next 2 weeks of play? Like, I will never trust the Sixers organization. Not that I trusted them a lot to begin with, but now definitely not moving forward.
Joe, the wording of the league's, statement they put out to me is really interesting. The league's investigation confirmed he's unable to play because of a left knee. Confirmed. So who confirmed it for them? The Sixers? Embiid?
They weren't
Nick
confirming
Nurse?
It for anyone else.
Correct. No, that's my whole point.
Yeah. And just to be clear, because, Nick Nurse says, all right, well, we gave you the statement. He's saying that to the media. We gave you the statement about Joel, earlier in the day. So here's what that statement said to the media. Dave Uram being one of them, and he was the one trying to ask that question, and it got cut off before we could even ask it. The statement that was given to the Sixers reads as follows, and it was text to media members yesterday. Joel Embiid and Paul George are out tomorrow versus Detroit. They participated in portions of practice today and will be reassessed later in the week. That's it. That's all it said. Which, in the vagueness of, well, when will he actually be able to play, leads to the bad reporter knows to ask any number of questions. Like, well, what is a realistic expectation for when he can play? And as Dave's trying to crank up whatever, by the way, Uram will join us in studio later in the show, because we want to know from his perspective what he made of the whole thing. I mean, the whole thing's a disgrace. All right, so you can wait on the Sixers, 215-592-9494. When you do today, by the way, you can win a $100 gift card. And I might prevent everyone from winning this, because I might just want to win it myself. Star restaurants? I could use $100 for a good steak. No, I won't do that. You can win a $100 gift card today to one of the Star restaurants. Purchase at any Star restaurant. Of course, gift cards, and great for the holiday season, at stargiftcards.com. That's stargiftcards.com. But you can win one today. So in honor, or in other words, in dishonor of the 76ers, and the lies and the deceiving and the misleading and all that sort of stuff. We'll ask you today at 215-592-9494 from the world of fiction, a tremendous lie or misleading or deceiving reality that impacts a storyline. Best answer by the end of the show. And you think, because there are lies, and then there are things that are like, I'll give you an example. From The Natural, when Roy Hobbs' old girlfriend.
Imagine that. We're going,
we're going there. Natural.
That's weird.
When she says to him.
If he says, I'll give you an example, we could be like, it's going to be one of these five movies.
Rocky, The Natural.
Exactly.
Yeah,
when
I
she
know.
Says
I think
to
we're
him,
all guilty
his dad,
similar.
My son, his dad lives in New York. She's not lying, but she's not saying, you're the dad. You're the guy living in New York that impregnated me 17 years ago. All right, John, give me a great answer. Best answer we ever...
impregnated.
Well, that was kind of the whole thing about fatherhood.
You're right.
What do you got here, John?
That is a part of becoming a father.
Wow, you were paying attention in human sex class.
Human sex class?
Human sexuality.
Nice. I
human
like that.
Sexuality.
Frankly, I'm more into that bestiality thing, but that's okay.
Oh, my God. Did you just say that?
I'm just kidding.
I don't think you should be into that bestiality.
Yeah, that's a weird way to go.
Devin was
think
talking over top of me. She stepped on it.
Yeah, it's my fault.
That's good. I don't ever want to play that again.
To be clear,
anyway.
Me for ladies
and gentlemen, I am anti bestiality.
Think of Joe's knowledge of the kingdom Animalia. Like, zoologically speaking, think of how deep Joe's knowledge does not go. And then how disturbing it would be if he were into bestiality.
Maybe we can get Devin today talking about bestiality.
What?
Yeah, you never know.
What?
I don't know. You never know.
You're the one that just said it.
How
are you going to get me to talk about it? I'm on my toes.
You're talking about it right now.
You are talking about it.
Yeah.
All right, well, I'm not going to talk
about it. Wait, what are you talking
about? All right, John, give me an answer. Everyone, 215-592-9494. For the $100 gift card, a lie or a misleading statement?
Fictional lie. Obi-Wan Kenobi. This had to be really hard, too, by the way. Lying to a Force-sensitive child, right? Obi-Wan Kenobi, Luke, your father was killed by Darth Vader. Nope, I know you're getting like Force skills now and you can like sense the cosmos around you, but that big giant robot, you know, guy dressed in all black, not your father. I know you can sense it. I know you can feel it in your bones, literally.
That's a big answer. That could have won.
But he's not your father.
That's a big one. James, give me an answer.
I'll go with the, I guess, best, most notable fictional liar, George Costanza, lying about the contest. Said he won it in the last episode.
That's classic.
Tells a lie.
That is really good. Devin, what do you got for a lie?
Catch Me If You Can, Leonardo DiCaprio's character, Frank Abagnale, was a fake pilot, a fake doctor, a fake bank teller. List goes on.
So the whole thing.
Everything.
You're right. Yeah, that's right. Rhea, what do you got here for a fictional lie or something deceiving?
I'm going to go with The Departed. Everybody was lying in that. You know, the one guy was going undercover with the mob, other guy with the police. One guy's an informant for the so everybody was lying.
Yeah, that's a good answer. They're all good answers. So an actual lie or a deception of some sort. Some of them were lies, some deceptions. Give us great answers. Whoever provides the best is going to win the $100 gift card. 215-592-9494 for your chance today. Also, we're going to get to Jaws coming up shortly, what he said about Cooper DeGene. All right, let's talk to Sheil Kapadia. He joins us every single Wednesday at this time. By the way, if you missed Sirianni yesterday with us, and it was late in the show, the Sirianni interview from late yesterday will air today coming up at 7:20. We covered a lot of ground with the now, believe it or not, Sheil Kapadia, believe it or not, 5-2 Philadelphia Eagles. Sheil, good morning, buddy.
What's up, guys? How you doing?
Great.
Doing well, Sheil. Of course, Sheil from The Ringer, both locally and nationally covering the Birds and the entire National Football League. So, Sheil, let's get to the Eagles and just start with this question. Do you think the Eagles, have they shown you enough to believe in them this year? Not so much to get to the playoffs, which they should, but to rattle some cages and be a real factor come playoff time. Do you think they've got that kind of squad?
Yeah, this game on Sunday, and I know one game shouldn't shape you know, an entire outlook, but this was the first time all season I watched them and I watched the film and looked at it and said they have a real shot in the NFC. You know, I didn't feel that way really at any time previously in the season after any of their wins, but that was such a complete win against a guy who I think is one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, and what I saw offensively, what they did, I put it all together and I said, looked around the rest of the NFC, and I thought, now I think they actually do have a shot here, and the second half of the season is going to be really interesting.
Sheil, let me ask you this follow-up, because I worry about this. Tell me if I should. The argument on the other side, beyond just what the Eagles did in the first bunch of weeks they played, is that since he had beaten the Giants and the Browns, they had struggled earlier against better opponents. Their offensive line stinks, and it's Burrow and Chase and a lot of other guys out there that aren't that good, and the win's not as impressive as it seems. Do you buy that, or was it a legit impressive win?
No, I think it was a legit win. This team took the Chiefs to the final possession. They took the Ravens to the final possession. I mean, they've been competitive against pretty much every team they've played so far this season. You went on the road, you were underdogs, and you won by 20 points. I mean, I do think that was absolutely the Eagles' most legit win of the season.
Sheil, some people that I know have been telling me that Jalen can't play from under center. What did you see? And you know, the last couple weeks from the under center plays, how much do they help the offense? And you know, how well suited does Jalen seem? How comfortable does he seem playing that way with his hands under the center's butt?
Well, what was interesting here is that you know a lot of those. I love how you phrased that, by the way, John. Also,
I know what he did. I know.
So what was interesting is that most of their plays in this game, now they ran 21 plays under center, but this was a lot of run plays under center. I mean, Saquon Barkley had 10 runs under center. Now, they did mix in some play action under center, but it wasn't a lot. And that's the next step I would like to see for this offense, because they had a play early in this game where Jalen Hurts targeted the middle of the field, something we almost never see. He hits A.J. Brown on an in-breaking route for 29 yards, and those are the types of routes and the types of plays that if your run game is working under center, now you can use play action off of that, and you can hit those routes. So they showed some stuff in this game. They continue to layer it in a little bit slower than I would have liked or than I would have anticipated, but you did see some of those things like the under center runs in this game. Now I just want to see the next step to evolving that with the play action.
So the play action, not where you want it to be yet, but Jalen did take that next step. How much better can he get? I mean, this it's still not quite the way it felt in 2022. Is it like where we were secure in the knowledge that he was in that pantheon? Like how much more does he have to do?
Yeah, no, there's a lot more to do. I mean, he's had an up-and-down season. Now, this game, he played very well, and I do think this game kind of felt a little bit to be like 2022. I mean, they had eight drives, and they scored on seven of them, four touchdowns and three field goals. It's really hard to be more efficient than that. They didn't turn the football over in this game. Their run game was working well, and they were able to hit on chunk plays in the passing game. I mean, he completed 13 straight passes to end the football game. Really, it was one of the only times this season where I looked at the passing game and said, hey, they found a rhythm here. You know, it wasn't fluky. It wasn't just, hey, a go ball down the left sideline. They were completing passes consistently over and over and over again. So I came away from this offensive performance. Again, it was one game, but I came away really encouraged from this offensive performance.
And missing essentially two of your starter O linemen, how difficult was that to stop Trey Hendrickson and to keep him clean when he has not trusted his protection previously this season?
I'm so glad you brought this up, John, because this was probably the biggest takeaway from watching the film is you would never know that the Eagles were starting two backup offensive linemen. And we get tired probably of everyone's been talking about Jeff Stoutland in this town for a long time. I don't know where this franchise would be in the last 10 years without that guy as the offensive line coach. I mean, this doesn't happen where you start two backups in a game like that and your offensive line performs at what I would say is a top five level in that football game. Jalen Hurts had clean pockets all game long. They did help a little bit there with Fred Johnson at left tackle, chipping with the tight end or with the running back specifically on third down. But I was really, really impressed with the way this offensive line played in that game.
Sheil, let's talk about the other side of the Eagles' pass rush. So it remains my biggest concern on the Birds' defense. Is it good enough?
No, it's not good enough. It's my biggest concern, too, on the defense. And what's interesting, Joe, is I can't remember the last time that we looked at an Eagles defense and you said the corners are the strength of the team and the corners really have to help the pass rush versus the other way around. I mean, it's usually built the other way around. That's not how this team is built. Their best players on defense are their cornerbacks who are playing at a high, high level. And you saw that in that football game. But the pass rush, yeah, Bryce Huff, to me, in this game, this reminded me of really, you know, the first 4 or 5 weeks of the season before we said, hey, maybe he's shown a little something here. He didn't get close to the quarterback in this game. Josh Sweat couldn't finish when he had opportunities. So I do think if they're looking for a trade, and I don't have a name for you or anything like that, but if they are looking to add a player before the trade deadline, I feel like edge rusher is the most likely spot where they would target someone.
Wow. We had to endure another week without Dallas Goedert, but it felt like Grant Calcaterra made some real progress. Like, it felt like he took a giant step in terms of just productivity. What did you see from the film on Grant Calcaterra, Shiel?
Yeah, they're leaning into two tight end sets quite a bit. I mean, I think they played with two tight ends around 45% of the time or something like that. And Calcaterra looks, you know, decent to me as a backup tight end, as a pass-catching option. I still have concerns with him as a blocker, but in terms of running his routes, getting open, being where he's supposed to be, and most importantly, earning Jalen Hurts' trust. Because last year and in years past, when the backup tight end gets in there, Jalen Hurts isn't even looking at him. So he is looking at Calcaterra, and I think he's done a fine, competent job of what you would expect from a backup tight end.
All right, well, Shiel, phenomenal stuff, my man. We look forward to talking to you next week, and happy Halloween. What are you going to dress up as, bud?
No, yeah, I'm not.
What are you, just a dad that takes your kids around? Is that what you are?
That's right. I'm the guy who waits on the street, go get the candy. Come on, let's
So you are going door to door, Shiel?
I'm not going to go to the door. You know, I stay Shiel, on the street.
But are you going to try to take the Almond Joy?
Ew. Oh, God.
No, anything with almond or coconut, get that out of here.
Why does everyone hate
you're
almond?
You're the only one who likes it. You're the only one.
It's so good.
I love almond joy.
Thank you, Debbie.
You got an ally.
I do.
Disgraceful.
I didn't know that you were alone in this, John. I'm happy to be an ally here.
Well, you should have known, because everyone in the world except you two hates
They're
it.
Delicious.
What are you talking about? It's the
Reese's and Kit Kats. The,
yes, well said.
I like Reese's those and Kit Kats too.
Keep it simple.
Yes, of course, I like those also.
Almond Joy.
It's ridiculous. Hey, Shiel, good work, buddy. Thanks, man.
Take care, guys.
Thanks. You got it, pal. 215-592-9494. Let's get to the Twitter poll question of the day. It's brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Armin is offering huge savings on every leftover 2024 Equinox remaining in inventory. Together, let's drive. ArminChevy.com. You know, we're trying to assess how people feel today about the Eagles and whether you're on board and buy in. And so, all right, how can we sort of determine where you stand? A poll question about whether they will win a playoff game. Question, do you think the Eagles win a playoff game this year? Yes or no? This season, obviously. Yes or no? You can vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter. It'll be very interesting as the show goes on.